Okay, are we ready? Yep. Okay.
Poor Clarky gets that introduction.
Is it working? Is it working?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, this has been a strange week for me, followed by last week, which is strange. Followed by the week before that, which is strange. But a week ago tonight is when I had one of the strangest experiences ever. And I felt like I was being introduced to some sort of spiritual realms. And for what it's worth, I don't know what happened. I really don't understand it. But from what I could see, I could see the introduction of the spirit to the soul. And I don't know if that's what I saw. I mean, who knows what I saw? Because you can't see a spirit, you can't see the soul. So what I saw, I don't know. But it was like, I saw it in varying stages through about a 6 hour or 4 hour thing early Thursday morning. And a tiny soul with a tiny spirit that grew into a bigger soul with a bigger spirit and grew into a full-fledged soul with a full-fledged spirit. And I had no idea what it was. I still have no idea what it was. But that's what I saw. And I saw a union of the two that dumbfounded me. Because I have been, it's not that I'm looking for some weird thing, because I'm not. I want to know the truth, and I want to know what it is that God sets up for us to have. And so whatever it is, you know, let him do it by his understanding. Let me read a couple of scriptures. Deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, you're all familiar with that verse, or I think so. This is in 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. But anyway, it says, you know, so here we are trying to figure out what that means. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Well, what we do is just read that scripture and don't pay attention to the rest of them, and you come up with all kinds of screwy solutions. And then your mind does the work for you. But the problem with this individual was that getting more old. I lost it. I've been on the wrong page. I wonder. It is reported commonly, this is in the same, in the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Okay. That's the foundation for this picture, for this setting. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, this is in 1 Corinthians 5. Just bear with me. Yeah, make a separation. First deliverance. 1 Corinthians, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay. No, just not to add to that scripture, but it says to purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. In verse 7, in chapter 6, he's still talking about the same thought pattern. Do any of you, not dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, you are unworthy to judge the smallest matters. Know ye not that ye shall also judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? I'm just throwing in some things. Not that I have answers to any of this. But if it's in the scriptures, there's got to be a reason for it. So if you're going to deliver such a one, okay, and now I said that because what I want to do, actually, is to read 1 Peter 3:19. Just bear with this with me. Be patient with me. 1 Peter 3:19. It says, by which he also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. For Christ also, and this is verse 18, has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Okay? End of the statement, right? That really leaves us, doesn't it? Leaves us in a precarious position. In chapter 4, in verse 5, we got more of the same account, which I didn't even know was in here. See, that's what happens when you don't read the rest of the story. For who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also that to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. See, that was part of verse of the fifth chapter. I didn't know it until, or the third chapter, until I ran into it here. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Anyway, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. That doesn't make any sense, does it? That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. What does all of this mean? Not a clue. But I had to bring it up because, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. That don't make any sense, does it?
Why not?
Okay. Why does it make sense?
They're spirits.
What I'm saying is, God wants us to come into an area of realization, of recognition, and it's just about minus. And we can say, well, I don't think it matters. And I'm saying, I think it does matter. I think it matters because it has been pushed on me so strong that I can't get rid of it. And it's not that I have the answers, because I don't have the answers. But they understood something that I don't. And it's like, I don't think that we're supposed to be ignorant of these things. Paul understood some things. Peter understood some things. They all understood some things. What did they understand that I don't have a clue about? I want to know.
Well, I was doing some reading and just reading, and I'm coming to the conclusion that your soul and spirit are going to be the same place all the time. So, one time it'll reference the soul, the next time it'll reference the spirit. I got some scriptures that might confuse you a little.
I'm confused by lots of them.
Because in a setting where you would think it would say spirit, it says soul, and it's Jesus.
Okay, well, that's why we're talking about it.
And so I started thinking, well, just asking, well, why is that? And I just think that...
Why are you asking?
Well, because I want to know. I mean, because you've been asking, so I want to know what we're supposed to know.
Well, the thing is, we're supposed to know something that we don't know. I think that we hit on a major thing the other day. I think you grabbed it and so did I. And it's the fact that God said that if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When we begin to realize that we are created in the image of God in a lot closer dimension than what I have ever realized. I've looked at this thing and I thought, what relationship does the flesh have with God? It's a house for the things that he created, but it's going to die one day. The flesh is going to cease to exist. So what is the permanent relationship, or what good is the flesh? You know what I mean?
Well, the flesh isn't worth it. See, I think the whole key is developing our spiritual soul and spirit person.
And here's what I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be. I think that the spirit becomes what the soul allows it to become. So I think that if you see somebody, you look at them and say, well, they got a kind spirit. Well, probably the soul has allowed the person to become a kind individual. But a person that's bitter all the time, I think that they allow the spirit to become bitter right along with the soul. I don't know, but and maybe I'm wrong. But I think the spirit kind of is affected by the soul. I don't know if I'm wrong in it or not. But.
So then if the soul affects the spirit...
Well, I think the decision the soul makes is what the spirit also becomes.
So then what you need the soul to be is led by the Holy Spirit.
It has to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But also the spirit of man is a thing that can interpret what the spirit says. The spirit of man is a thing that interprets it. The soul has no ability to interpret what the spirit is saying. So if the thing is I don't know that. I'm guessing it. I'm just throwing it out. But think about it. And we're thinking about something that's way beyond us. But at the same time, the humanity of Christ was way beyond us at one time. I don't have any problem with that anymore. I'm convinced. So I'm made free in it. No matter what people think or what they believe. I had an unbelievable conversation with Dale. Maybe was it last night? Remember he called and I said...
called Sunday night and you were going to talk to him Monday morning.
And so I talked to him Monday morning. And anyway, I am thrilled at what's starting to take place, what God is doing. It's just not just in us, but it's happening in a lot of places. People are starting to wake up and they're starting to see that the scriptures are God's word. And that's what we need to go by. Instead, going by that instead of by all this other malarkey that we're being fed for so long. Anyway, go ahead. Ken, you have something to...
Well, I ran across a couple scriptures, like in Matthew 26:38, when he's in the garden.
Yeah.
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Now why didn't he say, my spirit is exceedingly sorrowful?
Probably both were.
Yeah, that's why then when he's on the cross, he yields up his spirit in one of the accounts.
Well, it is a ghost, which is the same thing.
Yeah, and
in the King James, anyway.
Mary says, my spirit has rejoiced. That's when she was talking with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then Mark 12, this is kind of interesting. That's the command whoa, 33. So, scribe said, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. That's verse 32. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. See, the Spirit doesn't get mentioned there, but and up Jesus says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment.
Mm-hmm. You know, the soul, I think, is more of a personal thing than the spirit, because the soul, I think, is more of our core. Because, okay, there's Pablo's soul, right, and there's Pablo's spirit, the spirit of Pablo, but my spirit, regardless if I go to heaven or hell, is going to go back to God. My Pablo's soul will either go to heaven or hell. So that's where Pablo is going to end up eternity, in heaven or in hell. It's Pablo's soul that is going to heaven or hell. Pablo's spirit is going to heaven no matter what, because it will go. My spirit will go back to God, because that's where it came from. So the soul is more of who I am, I think, than the spirit. Even though, okay, they're the same or whatever.
Okay.
You know.
Here's a problem.
Okay.
We're talking about such a deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Well, we were saying Sunday that spirit and soul, those two words seem to get used interchangeably a lot, too.
So I've got a number of scriptures that say this, and it's like, this has been my, what you said has been my conviction. Until I start running into these crazy scriptures about the soul, or that he preached to the spirits that were in prison.
Huh.
And you know what I'm saying? It's like, and I tell you what I think.
So you got another one for you when you're done.
Okay, go for it.
1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That don't make sense.
Not while on earth, though.
Huh?
Oh, that's an earthly thing. On earth.
Yeah, until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But,
But anyway, what we have is a number of scriptures that appear, and from the experience that I had on Sunday, on last Thursday night, or last Wednesday night, it would appear that the spirit is subject to the soul, but to the decisions of the soul. So that if the soul becomes evil, the spirit becomes evil along with it.
Yeah. I mean, no objection.
Yeah.
Which means that the spirit then is going to go to hell too.
Well, I don't know. See, Jesus says, you know, when you sin, if your eye causes you to sin and all that, says, if not, your body and soul will be cast into hell. Or you will save your body and soul.
Yeah, but how do you explain where it says he went and preached to the spirits in Hades?
Well, there's a... We don't know where we are at yet, as in, like, when we die, we're sleeping, right? We don't... We die again, and we live. So, whoever dies right now is sleeping, so... sleeping is still body, soul, and spirit, I suppose.
Sounds to me like they've already been condemned to that place.
I don't know.
Right? I mean, that's why
we're in the middle of this thing.
See, I just think you can't. I've kind of seen where you got to keep the two together, basically.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And the Holy Spirit has to affect them both. He went and preached. Get anywhere.
He preached to the spirits that were in prison, but over here in chapter 4, it says, "For this cause was the gospel preached to the, also them that are dead." Now we're talking about the spirits don't die, so we're talking about the flesh and blood or whatever. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. See, that's what I was talking about in that verse that I used out of context so many times.
But you know, just like, you know, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and so the spirits that are in prison I would imagine, I don't know, but it's whoever is, hasn't gone to heaven or hell yet. You know,
literally, when I was read the first time through, I thought prison actually meant prison. You know, and Ken made the comment, well, no, I'm not sure you're referring to that. But
oh, I don't know.
You're saying Hades, and I'm going, well, that would be another way to refer to prison.
You watch it.
Well, in one place,
Okay, better do it.
It said, I think isn't there a place where it says in Hades, Keith, besides prison?
Yes, but when it's talking about Jesus, well, I don't know.
Like preach to the
Jesus. Jesus is. There's a prophecy. No, Jesus didn't read it, but somebody read a prophecy in the New Testament saying, like, and I thank you that you didn't leave my spirit or soul, that you didn't leave my something in Hades. Mm-hmm. I think it's prophesying about Jesus, isn't it?
Well, but it kind of, it would maybe shed some clarity on this. When I apologize for being late, but when I first came in, what I thought I heard being said was, think of the soul as kind of the decision maker.
Yeah.
Meaning, the soul is deciding whether to try and do good or choose to do bad. And the next thought was, and where the soul goes, so shall that person's spirit go.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, here, now, when you were in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, deliver. Let me see where it says it.
Such a one to Satan. 1 Corinthians 5.
Yeah, and you are gathered together along with my spirit, Father, the Lord, deliver such one to Satan, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
What does that mean?
Well, it just means his spirit's going to be saved along with his soul. Yeah, I don't think you can separate the two.
I don't think you can either. So if the body goes to hell, see, we got to remember something about, you know, in the beginning, God created the devil. The devil was a bright and morning star. He was the highest of all of God's creation. The best thing that God had ever made up to that point. And so, but he rebelled. And he took a third of the angels of heaven with him. And they have become evil spirits because they followed the devil instead of following God. And so the demons that we cast out are actually fallen angels. That's all they are. But they're spirits. So, if we turn to evil, and most people will, aren't we going to turn our spirits evil along with us? Is a spirit going to be saved in spite of the flesh?
No.
I don't think so.
Well.
Nor is the soul.
In spite of the soul.
Yeah, well, the flesh really doesn't really come into it.
In spite of the soul is what I meant.
Yeah, because okay. The flesh just disappears. It turns to dust.
I wonder if this the soul and this and emphasis in I wonder.
You're not making this fast in our doctrine right now.
If the spirit and the soul, whatever the spirit does, the soul does. on whatever the soul does, the spirit does.
Yeah.
However, you need both. You can't have soul without the spirit. For whatever reason, we need both. You know what I mean? The soul is just so we can connect with God, spiritual. I mean, the spirit. The spirit must be so we can connect with God.
It has to be.
Right. And the soul benefits
from the spirit.
Right. And whatever the spirit does, the soul does, or the soul is connected. You just need both of them. They're not, there's a soul and there's a spirit, but they're always holding hands. However, I think they could stop being together if you go to hell. If you go to heaven, maybe your spirit and soul stay together. Obviously, they stay together because we're all going to be one, and everybody's one, everything's one.
Let me ask you this question then. On judgment day, is God going to judge the soul or the spirit?
I have no idea.
The souls.
Not
so
the spirit.
If God's judging the soul, that means that's the important part.
Well, it's the one that made the decision.
Right. So there is a distinction between the two.
Right.
There's a distinction.
Right.
It's a good point.
Yes.
Yes. You have two different entities.
Yes.
Entities.
Yes. So I can never say that word. You know.
Well,
go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say was that was the point I was trying to bring a minute ago was if the soul is basically the decision maker, for lack of better ways, to follow God, to sin or not sin, and if your spirit is a result of the decisions the soul makes, either way.
Okay. Now, this all breaks up with an important thing. Okay, are we finished with this part?
Well, if I can cut off Glenn.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, anyway. Yeah, you're done. Of course, I forgot what I was going to talk about.
Well, I can read you some more other things.
Okay.
In Timothy 4:1, just the beginning of it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times," okay? So I'm just making a point here. This is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says. Then in 2 Timothy, it says, "For God has not given us," God has not given us, "a spirit of fear, but of power and everything." So the point is, God gives us a spirit that will help us become what He wants. And then in 1:14 it says, "Kept by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us."
Okay, now I got it. I remember what I was going to think about. If that's the case, I think that we are really missing the point when it says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think that what it's talking about, or there's just several places, sow to the flesh and you reap corruption, sow to the Spirit. I think that what it's talking about is a human spirit, or the man spirit of man.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I kept reading that. Go ahead.
Is it agreement or disagreement?
Well, there's a verse right at the end of that where it says walk in the Spirit.
And that's the Holy Spirit. I've said you walk in the Spirit, which is a spirit which is aimed toward God, doing things God's way. But we can take the human, the spirit that's in us, and if we make stupid decisions in the flesh, that spirit will go right along with us.
Right.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So you did kind of change there a little, because at one point a week or so ago, you were saying that was the spirit of man, to walk in the spirit of man.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. To walk in that spirit, which is connected to the Spirit of God. You can't walk in the Holy Spirit by the soul or the flesh.
With your spirit.
You can only do it by the Spirit.
Yes.
Well,
do you think you can walk in the Holy Spirit without the Spirit?
without your spirit. Well, it said that your spirit must walk in the spirit.
So that's what I'm saying.
Right, your spirit must walk in the spirit.
So when it, no matter, when it says to walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm saying that we have to be walking in the spirit that is in, you know, the spirit of man as part of us, connected to the spirit of God.
Right.
So when it says walk in the spirit, it can mean walk in the Holy Spirit, but you can't do that separate from the Holy, from the spirit of that God has given to us.
Okay. I'm going to read that setting.
Okay.
It's in Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, so that whole context is saying you're being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think when he says you, he's talking about your spirit.
But I'm saying...
Well, it's saying be led by the Spirit that is from God.
Yes.
But I'm saying, how do you do that without your spirit?
But I don't know, that's a big deal, because it's... Of course you're doing it with your soul and your spirit, because that's the side that's affected by the Holy Spirit.
So could you read it like this? Let your spirit walk in the spirit of God. Could you say that?
Sure.
Is right. Let your spirit
be led by the spirit of God.
Yes. Well, let your spirit walk in the spirit of God.
And
let it walk the same thing. Yeah.
And that's the only way that we can do it is through the spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's the point that I'm. That it's as vital as it is, as important as it's to me. It is an important issue. If our spirit is not being connected to the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. It's impossible.
See, because I went in Galatians 3:2, it kind of, I thought, set the stage for all of that, even though it's two chapters later. This, let's see. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Indeed, it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. See, I kind of, because there's no other reference in between that until you get to where it says be led by the Spirit, about the Spirit. It's kind of like it kind of sets the precedence for what follows. Everything that follows after. Doesn't it? I mean, seems that way to me, but maybe I'm misinterpreting a little there, but I mean, it's saying who gave you the Spirit to be led by, you know? And what Spirit are you led by? The Holy Spirit, which dwells in you.
And we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. But what has to be led by the Holy Spirit? That's the issue in my...
So I have a quick, tiny little question then. Does the Holy Spirit minister to the spirit or to the soul?
You know what? Let me see. To the spirit. Because let me see, before anybody... Don't get ahead of me. Because, okay, I believe, I can see that, okay... The soul is subject to the spirit, or spirits, not the other way around. The spirits are not subject to the soul, or a spirit is not subject to our soul, because we got, for example, okay, the spirits from God. We got the spirit of this, spirit of this, spirit of this, spirit of truth, for example. The spirit of truth, it will be the spirit of truth all day long, forever. There's nothing you can do to the spirit of truth to change it to be anything else. Therefore, the soul is subject to the spirit of truth, and it will not change. So the spirit of truth can affect your soul to change it, to change your soul, to affect it. So the soul is subject to the spirit. So in so what was it that you asked?
I asked.
So the spirit ministers to your spirit, because your spirit, a spirit is what alters your soul.
Exactly.
Soul cannot alter your spirit.
Okay.
No. I don't. No. We just said earlier that the soul can affect the spirit.
Well, but when
because it's the one that makes decisions. You don't have.
Well, we don't know. We said that, but we don't.
Well,
know.
What you're saying, we don't know either.
No, we don't know. No, but the reason why I'm saying that is because the spirit is unchangeable. It's unchangeable.
No, if you can have your spirit go bad or good.
Well,
the Holy Spirit's unchangeable.
Yes, the Holy Spirit's
unchangeable. Well, let's talk about spirits of God. Spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom, spirit of truth. The spirit of truth and wisdom, and there will always be those spirits. A spirit, the spirit of X, will always be a spirit of X. Now, why will my spirit be changeable when all other spirits are not?
Well, like we said, there was an illustration in the very beginning. Well, that person has a spirit of kindness.
Okay. So
But he could have a spirit of unkindness also.
That would be a second spirit, a separate spirit.
It means a spirit could be turned the other way as well as that way, depending on what his soul wants to be led by.
Well, that's because the soul is subject to a spirit.
No, I think
because you can have the spirit of kindness, and if you have the spirit of kindness,
he pointed out earlier, it's your soul that develops the spirit of kindness.
Yeah.
Because that's your decision.
Well, but the real hook that you threw in there was, it was like, and the only way your spirit gets better is by listening to the Holy Spirit, ignoring how the soul is involved. And that's why I said, if the Holy Spirit comes upon you and it impacts your soul, which leads you to become kind or giving or whatever, and your spirit follows your soul, that your spirit now becomes like the Holy Spirit. But that happened because the soul was impressed by the Holy Spirit and accepted it versus...
Mm-hmm. I don't see why not, yes.
Versus it could go the other way.
Right. Yeah, I don't see why not. My spirit, because see, the Bible says, what we're talking about, really, there's not a passage in the Bible that explains exactly what we're trying to talk about here.
I think there might be. We just don't see it.
Well, there's
it hasn't been put together.
Right. But yeah, possibly our spirit might be changeable.
Yeah. I would say definitely our spirit is changeable.
But other spirits are not changeable. The spirit of wisdom will always be spirit of wisdom.
Any spirit of God, is not changeable.
It's not changeable
because God is not changeable.
It is not changeable.
And so that I 100%. I don't think there's an argument with that. And any aspect that the Holy Spirit is bringing, whether it is spirit of truth, spirit of kindness, whatever, that doesn't change. But what I'm throwing out there to see if it sticks is that spirit comes to you and it talks or speaks to your soul. Your soul then says, I'm going to accept this or I'm not going to accept this. And based upon that decision, or in other words, your free will, your spirit becomes that which the soul has said, this is, I'm going to be kind. Now, a gift, a spirit, or the spirit of wisdom, that's a little bit different, but anyways, at this moment, that's how I sort of see these things piecing together. But
that's very close. I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Glenn. Glenn, sorry.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I don't remember what it was. No, that's okay. It'll come with me.
But I really don't know. I mean, I would really feel good,
but you know what? I really don't know, but I do know one thing. Because of my experience a week ago, I am convinced that God wants us to know. That's why I pushed this thing so hard. And the thing is, do I know? I would give anything to know.
I'm sort of confused about, well, maybe that's unanswered, but it's like, well, I don't want to say.
You know, I don't know, but I know some.
Among friends.
From that experience I had, God wants us to know. And you know what? Don't be satisfied with anything we come up with until we start to really know by the Spirit.
Along with what Corky was saying, I'll go back to when Jesus was in Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. He says, my soul is sorrowful, but he went on anyway. So that meant his soul made the decision to go on, even though it was sorrowful. He continued to pray and ask the Father that he would do his will.
But
he
made a statement in there that makes me, that gives us some insights, I think. And he had asked his disciples to pray with him. And he came back there and fell sound asleep.
Right.
And he made this statement. He says, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak.
Right.
What was this? The soul was saying through the spirit, I want to do it. But when it come right down to it,
the flesh won that time.
The flesh won the battle.
Yeah, in that
case. They fell asleep. So instead of praying like they were going to, he asked them to do, the spirit lost the battle, and the flesh won. He said, your spirit is willing. You know what?
Who said that? Who said that?
Jesus.
Oh, so he was talking about.
He was talking to the apostles.
Talking to
Jesus. Jesus. Right. But Jesus was just talking about himself?
No.
Well, when he said that, he was talking about them.
He was talking about their flesh and their spirit.
Their spirit was willing.
Yeah.
See, they were willing to do it, but their flesh was weak. And what it does, it shows us, I think, one of the best balances are revelations of who we are.
And I think in that same setting, he said, lest you fall into temptation.
Yeah.
Which is why they deserted him when he got brought in. Because they were tempted to deny him. And they did.
So don't be discouraged.
But it didn't mean, but they still, eventually, God brought him where he wanted him.
But this conversation, don't anybody be discouraged by it. Because what we're doing is we're talking about a realm that I know God wants us to understand. And for the most part, 98% of the church has not even a foggy clue. Most of the church believes that the soul and the spirit are the same. But we saw the separation, and we really saw it in Hebrews 4:12, where it said that the word of God is so sharp that it divides asunder even the soul from the spirit. And it's like, wait a minute here. How do you do that?
Well, and then when it lists all of them separate, tells you that it's separate. I mean, you know, why would you say soul, spirit, and body, soul, spirit, mind?
And then what it does, it gives us the next area right behind it. It also is able to separate the bone from the marrow. The marrow is inside of the bone.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's where you find that stuff. And so if it can do this, it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then the next verse changes it. It makes it look like we're not even talking about the word anymore. Now we're talking about God himself. Says it, you know, with him whom we have.
See, and reading through so many of them, I kind of mentioned it Sunday night. I've come to the conclusion that what I need is as much of the Holy Spirit as I can get from God, because that's the only thing that's going to make everything correct. That's the only thing that's going to make your spirit right. It's going to make your soul right. It's going to get you in the kingdom of God. It's going to get you to heaven. It's going to get you truth, which will get you to heaven. Right?
I think that's exactly right.
And so,
as long as we know it's not, as long as we continue, it's not us.
Yeah, because there's so many references that it comes down to Him supplying the Spirit. And it says, God, whose Spirit dwells in you. If it's dwelling in you, then it's continually there to affect you. You know, to help you make decisions for the soul and for the Spirit. Or make decisions by the soul for the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
And you would say that if you, the more, be careful in the words of it, as you continue in the Word and you continue to gain truth, your spirit continues to grow. So you're able to rise above the flesh and make good choices versus bad choices. So, you know, I look at my spirit, God dwelling within me, that has an opportunity to change and to grow. Hopefully, by multitudes, because as truth becomes clear, I have more truth.
See, and part of the reason this never gets discussed in the church is they don't have the Spirit.
They don't get that far.
No, they don't get that far.
You know, what I think though, for that, if we go to heaven, our soul and spirit go to heaven.
Yes,
I think so too.
If we go to hell, only our soul goes to hell, not our spirit.
I don't know about that.
Well, see, that's what we're talking about.
Well, I say that because your spirit, the Bible says that the spirit of man returns to God to where it came from. That it says, verbatim.
Well, return to God for Him to do with what He wants.
But anyway,
it says it returns to Him.
Where does it say that?
I'll find it in 1 second. Listen to this. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body,
right,
but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both, body and soul, in hell.
That's
not spirit and soul.
Well, that's your point, that the spirit's already been taken.
Well, where I'm going to inject in there is, it says soul like that in one instance, and then in another instance it'll say spirit.
Right.
That's right. The part that's...
Well, the thing is that we got to remember is the devil and the demons were spirits that came from God.
Right.
God made the
right
devil. So, and they're going to be in hell forever.
Right.
And so it's like it doesn't seem fair that God would create His own, or send His own spirit, and still let it be in hell. But those are spirits that are going to be in hell.
Well, they're created spirits.
Well, but
yeah,
but they come from, they proceed from God. Oh,
yeah.
They come from God.
So then that contradicts a little what you said, Pablo.
Ecclesiastes 12:7.
Yeah, there it is. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the spirit goes back to God that gave it. This just came up. The other reference is Psalms 146:4.
So what it said, the dust returns to the ground it came from, and spirit returns to God who gave it. You know, the spirit, what I can see in the scriptures, not according to what the spirit returns to God, period. Now, if you go to hell, you go to hell, but your spirit returns to God.
Well, okay, now that's interesting.
How many spirits? There's only one soul. Each only have one soul.
Right.
How many spirits do you have?
Well, we have one spirit, but there's lots of different spirits.
You're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Well, there's
that
one
would return to God.
Well, there's one spirit of Pablo. The spirit of man.
There are many spirits that are involved in Pablo.
Oh, lots of them.
But there's only one soul.
This one soul, yes.
Yes.
And there's one spirit of Pablo.
No, I disagree.
So
the Holy Spirit, then there is one spirit of Pablo, yes. But other spirits, no. I disagree.
So the spirit of man, is is my spirit. And my spirit is affected by the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of knowledge, and bad spirit.
How many do you have?
Thousands, millions.
That's my point.
But they don't belong to me. That's they affect me.
Which spirit then is going to be judged?
Just, if I go to heaven, none. Because if you accept Jesus as a Savior,
you will be judged.
No, I'm not. If I go to heaven, I will not be judged.
Well, everyone
yes, you will.
Judged. You may be judged to go this way rather than this
you will
way.
Be judged. All will be judged.
It does say that.
Well, but there's also a scripture that says that we will skip the judgment.
Well, he separates the sheep from the goat.
No, I'm going to read it. It actually says they will fast from... I'm going to read it. It's like John 5. Just hold on a second.
So evidently you get split in half then if you don't go to heaven. Part of you goes to hell and the
well,
other
if you
part
go to hell,
to heaven.
What difference does it
no,
make?
No, Ken.
Well, I know, but that's if you're saying your spirit goes back to heaven and your soul goes to hell, somehow you just got split. That's
you
why
did.
I don't think
saying that, though.
No,
well,
not you.
I am.
Pablo is.
Yeah.
But God can split you in as many pieces as he wants to.
Well, but it wouldn't make sense.
He doesn't have to.
Would you like to well, be in the, in the middle of this, Shelley?
Huh?
I just asked her if she'd like to be in the middle of this.
Oh.
Well, I do note that in Ecclesiastes, when it says, "And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it," is loweress.
Is what
loweress? Not the Holy Spirit. It's in
oh loweress.
Loweress.
Oh, F.
S. Sorry.
Yeah.
No. Right. It could be the Holy Spirit
well,
that God gives.
Well, typically, yes, it could be. But normally they try and. They try and separate it by saying the Holy Spirit with a capital S. And I'm just saying that here it's noted as a little s, although, as we said last week, that could be just a translation mistake. You know,
so when Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison, what were they?
I took that on the face of the way that he was preaching to men in prison.
Oh, right. That
that's
could
what
be,
I, that's
right,
what I
because
thought.
The flesh and blood's not there.
Or it's just...
We don't know. I mean, in prison.
Well, he went down and got the keys to Hades.
Well, if that's the interpretation that he when he went down to prison is really referencing Hades, then that's...
Okay.
That,
well, that's yeah. Okay, so go back about being judged. So, everyone is judged.
Correct.
Okay, well, there's a scripture that says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life." This is John 5:24.
That could be referring to the rapture.
Well,
but I don't know.
Or,
but I know it says in there that all will be judged also.
Or it could be referring to if you have already gone to heaven, you won't be judged because you're in heaven because you've already made that. But if you haven't, and you're
well,
and you're
whoever in heaven, hears my word and believes him who sent me, that will be when you're on earth.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So on earth, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged.
I don't know. I'm just proposing this. That in that context, they're saying that the judgment will occur to those who do not have eternal life.
Exactly.
So
yes.
So, but there's been a judgment already made to determine those who have eternal life, and the judgment was made because they kept his word. That, you know, although that does kind of, I don't know how that stands where. You're sitting in front
of the book of life.
All will be judged. They were prejudged.
It says about opening the book of life, right?
That's where I'm, yeah. So, as I say
and
that,
then
I'm going
to find that setting, because then it says something about judgment, I believe.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
This is not even my opinion.
No. Well,
I'm just reading the scripture.
I'm saying the interpretation that I get from that is... There was a judgment of sorts that's already happened.
Okay.
And those who have failed, meaning those that the elevator didn't go up on, but the elevator went down, they are going to be judged for their sins. And those that are going to have eternal life. They have been judged, but they're not going to be...
Basically, yeah, that the judgment is not going to be effective.
Oh, I know where there's a setting where it says, and they will come before him, and those who have done evil will learn, those who have done good will... And so, it's... But I don't know where that setting is.
That's the way I interpret that.
Okay, maybe that's no, what... Maybe it means,
so I think we're all judged, which is... We kind of all turned at the same time. Because we're all judged. That's why.
No, you know what? But if we are free from sin, because we are through Jesus, we are free from sin.
We can be, yeah.
We are human. No, we are human, but we are free. Jesus is saving us from our sins. He's not making us not human. He's just saving us from our sins. So by saving us from our sins, we are sinless. No matter, do we understand that? I don't know. I don't understand it, but that's what he said. Jesus cleans our sins, saves us from our sins. So, yeah. Judgment Day, I don't belong in Judgment Day.
Well, it says the first part of what you said, but you could make a decision right up to the... It says you really don't have salvation until he comes.
Okay, so when I'm saved, I have then there's no judgment.
Well,
if I'm saved, there's no judgment.
But you won't know you're truly saved until when he comes. Oh no, I come with.
I'm not saying that. The point is not if I know that I'm saved or not. Let's say that I don't know that if I'm saved, but if I'm saved, I have this no judgment.
I'm open.
You know what I mean? It's just the only reason why I brought the scripture. The only reason why I'm bringing up the scripture is because you said who's going to be judged? The spirit or the soul? Well, we're all going to be judged. Well, this scripture says that. According to me, my understanding is that we are all not going to be judged. Could it mean that we are all still going to be judged? Maybe it still means that, but that's not what it says. You know what I mean?
Well, here's what I'll go with. I'll stand by that scripture as it is right there, unless I see a different ones that come into the picture.
Well, yeah, I'm not arguing a scripture.
Right. Let's say this one. So then, would it void this one?
How many times have we come up with scriptures that seem like they contradicted each other?
All the time.
Right.
Right.
And so what do we do?
We have to take both. We have to take all.
Well, then there's a reason how it's said in a context. And then if there's four other places that say there's a judgment, well, then you got to ask, well, how does that fit?
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So that's where I'm going to leave
four,
it
five,
for me,
two.
But...
Yeah,
you were reading from John 5:24.
Yes, John 5:24. Yes, but so where is this? There's a place that says that we'll all be judged. So let's just read one of them, so we can compare.
I looked up judgment. There's probably somewhere it says that the some will be on the right hand of God and some will be on the left hand of God. I know it's in there too, but I can't tell you where. I'm not as good as keeping that.
Well, very few are.
I have a question. Get us off this area a little bit.
I want to go back to which spirit is spirit.
What is this?
It is the word.
It's got word. Or is it?
It is.
You know what? What we believe here is going to be is a major, major thing. There's a lot of people that don't believe that this is God's word. It contains God's word. But it's not. In other words, you can take what you want and change it and do whatever you want to it. I say this is God's word, and who is it for? It's for people. The birds and the animals, and they can't benefit from it. And these are the thoughts of God. This is the way God thinks. This is what God says. And so, anyway, getting back to
a verse that we have had a lot of contact with lately in verse 12, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. To who? What's it for? It's quick and powerful and sharp to us. We're the only ones that benefit from the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nobody else mm-hmm. does, just us. And the animals, they can't look at it and whatever else. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. For who? Who needs to have the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit?
But it looks like we do.
We do.
Yeah.
It's us that need it. It's in there for that reason. That's what we say. What difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. You know what? When we get all through, we will understand this thing, and we won't. There'll be nothing after that. So you bring up a scripture. Good. Bring up a scripture. Good. Bring up a scripture. Good. What do they mean? The Holy Spirit is what at some point will straighten us out. And you know what? I wish I understood what we're getting into. I don't understand it. I'm not,
yet.
But I'm not offended or affected by it. I had something happen. Okay, from my own standpoint, I had a dream that the reason that we came back from Seattle. And in the dream, the last thing I saw, what I would call a rapture, which I didn't even know if there was such a thing. But in it, I saw people gathered in a field. They weren't in a church. They were gathered out in the field. And I saw them, I heard the sound of the trumpet, and I watched as these people were slowly picked up off the earth. Then I see in Revelation chapter 3, where it talks about the church of Philadelphia, because they have kept God's word, God is going to keep them from the hour that is coming upon to try the whole world. Is it possibly coming pretty soon? I mean, look at the conditions around us. I don't see nothing in the Bible that describes that. I had it in a dream just as vivid as could be, something that I'll never forget. What is that? Is that going to really happen? Well, I'm not going to set out in the field someplace and wait for it because I don't know. It was a dream. But at the same time, there's a lot of things like this that I don't know. But I started to see a separation between the soul and the spirit, and yet, as we look at it, those things are so much a part of each other that it takes the word of God to separate them.
And do they necessarily have to be separated?
Well, I don't know, but in here it's
That's
separated.
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, no, yeah, not separated, just two.
So that you know that they're there.
Yeah, so a spirit.
So we know what's what.
Yeah, so that you know they're there.
But that what I'm saying is that information in there is for me and you. And them guys out here, they could give a hoot.
Say, going back, I want to go back. If our sins are forgiven, wouldn't it be kind of nasty from God or anybody to say, ha, you lied, you looked at a woman, you stole, this kind of mean. If our sins are forgiven, not man or God should be judging me. You know what I mean? So it'll be kind of, it's not God-like. It sounds like it's not God-like to be judged if your sins are forgiven.
Well, there's good judgment.
Yes, well, we're not talking about good judgment.
Yeah, we are. We're talking about there's judgment, good or bad.
Yeah, I was, Revelation 20, starting in 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, I mean, I think this goes to great or small, every man is judged according to their works. But
some of them have escaped judgment.
But some have escaped. Right, yeah, yeah, right, it depends on whether you're talking.
No, I think it's good or bad judgment. It says in 5:24 that they will not be judged, so they will not get neither good or bad judgment.
He was taken.
Well, according to that scripture. Yeah.
Right, right.
In the context of that scripture.
Right, neither good or bad judgment.
Yeah, so, like I said, I think when I listened to that scripture, my interpretation was that there, those that weren't, I mean, those that had walked upright and followed God's word, they kind of already had, they didn't have the mark of the beast or whatever, like during and later Revelations, because they were walking and following God's word. So they weren't, you know, they had kind of already had a judgment of sorts. The other, so that's the way I interpreted it.
But is that, I'm saying, you know, but is that
Revelations talking about 2012?
But is that talking about, then? Or is it talking about every man from Adam? Until
the way I interpret it, and I'm not spending a lot of time on this, but and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the dead were judged out of those. Let's see, and the sea gave up the dead which they were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And, you know, it sounds like to me these are the people that are waiting for judgment to occur.
What isn't there a scripture that says a good, not really, but good job, my good and faithful servant?
There is.
What is it? Well done, my good and faithful.
Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Is that basically when you come into the gates of heaven? Is that what he's talking about?
You know what? There are so many illustrations and stuff that Jesus gave, it's hard to pinpoint. It's really hard to pinpoint.
But there's not like a one scripture that says, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so that could be the, okay, so your judgment as in, you know, well done.
The Bible says,
you're good and faithful judgment. And the other one's good, judge as in, when I see John 5:24, I'm saying when they escape the judgment, I'm seeing they escape the bad judgment.
That's kind of where I was.
But if you're saved, you get a good judgment, as in, you know, well done, and you're good, a faithful servant.
It's mentioned in Luke and Matthew, where it says, "Well done, my good servant," or "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Matthew 25.
Who's doing it to?
The master said, and I was just going to go read it. I think that's okay. I don't think that's Jesus saying.
No, it's just a parable.
But I was double checking. But yeah, that's just, you're right. That is sin. 25, 23.
But my picture of this whole thing is like, if I'm gonna be in front of anyone and they're gonna start telling me about all the sins I ever did, I know I'm going to hell. Because there's no way that I'm going to be forgiven and then still bring up all the sins that I ever did. I say, oh, but you can still go to heaven. It just doesn't sound godlike.
I think I realize where you're coming from, because if you are and you believe you're saved and your sins are covered by the blood, they're covered.
Yeah.
And God says, I will remember them no more.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm. But I think the pushback or the you for him to put in that spot, you've already been judged. He already knows. He already knows that you've walked upright. He already knows that you believe you're saved.
He knows.
Yeah. So he knows. So in a way, there's a judgment there. This is the parable about the talents. Jesus talking, and so in the parable, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, will make you a ruler over many things.
Okay.
So it was Jesus talking but he was he was talking in a parable.
And that's basically, you know, when he said, "Well done, my good faith," it's basically like at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the story.
Yeah.
So which, you know, it sounds like a judgment, you know, day or day of, you know, what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, but like, again, you know.
He was given a task and he did well.
Right.
We're given a task not to go out and sin. There's a parallel there.
So I'm just thinking.
Well, some of our thinking is tainted by the world's Peter at the gate with the keys.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Making it sound like Peter's going to usher you in if you're allowed to be in, you know, or whatever. Yeah. It kind of taints it a little bit.
Well, am I?
Because of all that wrong.
So, anyway, so rewind. So, who's getting judged, the spirit or the soul? I would say the soul.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think the spirit, my opinion or my thinking is that the spirits are the teacher of the soul.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the soul is what gets judged because the soul is what's going to go to hell or heaven. Mm-hmm. You know. And I don't know what the spirit's impression
means. Can you actually separate them then?
I would say you can.
I still think they're two different things.
It doesn't make sense that if you go to hell, your soul goes to hell, but your spirit goes back to God to do what?
Okay, I mean,
stuck in the closet till eternity.
Well, I don't know. See, I know. I know.
It doesn't make sense, and it should crawl in my head.
I agree that it doesn't make sense. Big no. Huge no, it doesn't make sense. However, it says that the spirit goes back to God, and it does mention about the spirit in prison, which I don't know what it means either, but it does say that your soul goes to Hades, or your soul goes to hell. So
maybe in Ecclesiastes, he's referring to God's people.
God's people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not God's. Oh, yeah. When not God's people, their spirit goes to hell. Yeah, maybe.
You know. So that's why it's going back to God, because he's saying, you know.
But it doesn't. It says their spirit. It's not specifying either one or the other.
About what?
What in Ecclesiastic? It doesn't say you know, the spirit of the people of God or the spirit.
But I mean, I'm taking the context of who he's writing to.
He's in hell looking up.
Ecclesiastes was written by Moses to the people of God.
I don't know how to do this, but the
author guy gave him all the stuff he put down.
He gets to experience.
And in the Old Testament, that's what God is dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, I used to quote this. I quoted the scripture wrong. The scripture. I thought when it says you pluck your eyes, so he says, because your body and soul will be sent to hell, but it says just body. I always thought it said body and soul. It says just body, it doesn't say soul. But anyway, it's just a correction that I something I quoted 3 weeks ago. And I was reading into it just now. And I thought it says it's better that your body and soul be casted into hell. But it does not say body and soul at all. It says just body.
Well, but it says the one who can kill your soul.
Yeah, kill your soul. Mm-hmm.
Which, if you killed it, it ain't going to be an end.
Right.
I mean, those terms are kind of, because I don't think your soul ever gets killed to where it's ever actually,
you know,
dead. It's always alive.
Our soul and spirit are connected, right? But before we were born or whatever, the spirit that we have was not connected to our soul, because our soul never hasn't been. So at some point it got connected when God gave it. It connected, but just like it connected, it could disconnect. You know, just it's connected while we're alive on earth.
So when
I'm not saying that makes sense or not, but Ecclesiastes says that thing goes back to the Father. And it doesn't. We don't see much of this. Our spirit going to hell. but it says a more of like a soul goes to hell. And even in Acts, something they speak about Jesus. It says that that your soul was not left in Hades. Now, soul and spirit, I don't know, but it says whoever wrote Acts is talking about this: the soul of Jesus was not left in Hades. You know, his body apparently didn't go home.
Isn't there a reference of the ones who were at the time of Noah that he preached to?
Oh, that's one of Peter.
And what does it say? Did he?
No, it's just the spirits that were in prison at the time of Noah.
Yeah, they were at the time of the flood.
They were at the time
of the flood. So there, prison wouldn't be. See, there, Corky.
I'm sorry. What
that reference about is about the people that were at Noah's time.
It could be.
Well, it is because, and so when it says prison, well, there couldn't have been a prison because the flood took everything away.
Oh, right. So
prison must be
speaking of
Hades.
Yeah.
Well, but prison that could be in a pig, just like Jesus threw the animals into. I'm just in bondage, because what I see in the scripture is that nobody's in hell right now, and only God and Jesus are in heaven, or I don't know, the angels were there. But he says because the scriptures talk about, like, you know, and in the last day, everybody that will rise up, and some go to hell, some go to heaven. It doesn't say that, and that's when hell, and he says, and hell that is prepared for the devil, so that not even the devil is in hell. The devil is going to hell.
Well, what about, so you're saying because it's just a parable about...
No, that's not a parable.
The parable about Abraham has the guy in his bosom and the other guy's already in Hades.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that just a parable?
I don't know.
That it's...
That's the other scripture. That goes against what I just said.
That's why those things pop up, and you know, it's like...
And that's why we have what we have.
Right.
And that's why we don't have the full understanding yet.
And that's why it doesn't do any of us any good to get upset about anything.
No.
Nothing, because I'm in the process, I want to know. You know what I want to know? I want to know what God wants me to know.
Yep.
You will know what God wants you to know.
And the only way I'm going to know is if the Holy Spirit teaches me. So I can go through that Bible and read it 100 times thinking I'm going to find something. If I'm not asking the Holy Spirit to give me truth,
and you know what the important thing about that is? I still don't know what God wants me to know.
Well, yeah, he's not telling you that.
I only know what God wants me to know right now.
And he ain't telling you what he wants you to know.
He'll
show you what he wants you to know, but he ain't telling you anything.
There's something here that God will reveal to us, and we're going to get this picture. Well, and you know what? Is it important? It is vitally important.
I'll make this general comment. I think before we started digging on this a little bit, I probably had a weak understanding or an improper understanding about how vital my walk is and how my walk is affected by the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, my spirit is a result of my walk, and my walk is a result of the Holy Spirit impacting me and me making choices.
Right.
And so, you know, in the past, I just kind of went, well, you know, Holy Spirit's got to do this, and but I was ignoring, you know, the miracle of God dwells within me. And how does that happen? Well, that's His Spirit in me. And how can I make that closer to the fullness of God?
I don't care how great you make your spirit to be, your spirit of man, or how great you want your soul to be, it's not going to be nothing without the Holy Spirit doing it.
Or another way, your spirit's not going to become great without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. We're lost without the Holy Spirit. But I think the big thing the thing that's kind of growing out of this is, you know, you have a spirit. And your spirit is based on what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you and what your soul has done with that. Because we all have the ability to turn away. I mean, we can all reject. I mean, I don't know why, but I mean, if you're praying and the Spirit falls upon you, that's usually not the time like, yeah, I got to go. It's like, you sit there and go, yes, 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 yes. You know, let it rain. So, and that's the thing that I think is kind of in, can I explain the A to B to C to D? No. And I'm going to just kind of, like we do with so many other things, do I need to know that? And is that salvational? I'm not sure. I think there's something important here about me and what I'm responsible for, but some of these other things, I'm just putting them kind of up on the shelf for a while until the Holy Spirit reveals it.
Yeah.
Because I like Pablo, and I don't want to get upset at some of the weird things he says.
So, what is the thing that
you're not looking
for? What's the devil looking for in man?
His soul.
Well, he's trying to keep the soul from... Right.
Right.
It's the battle.
He's after the soul.
He wants the soul.
He's not
of
after
Christ.
The spirit. He's after the soul.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he'll affect your spirit to get to your soul.
And right. His main goal is the soul of man.
Yep.
So I still say the soul is going to be the most important part in all this. How they find together, I do not know, but I think they are very closely together. And I still believe, and I think, well, I should say I believe, I say I have the idea, I have the feeling that the spirit are what teaches the soul.
Yeah, or you're the soul definitely in the, right, soul. In the right direction, I would say. I mean, I'm fine. I agree. I mean,
you know. Because the soul is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, soul is subject to the spirit, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's subject, in the teaching area especially, it is subject to the spirit of man, which can understand the Spirit of God. Spirit to spirit. But anyway, the devil hates us, and I think one of the big reasons is because God has created men to be over the angels. He created, it says he made man a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But it says that God has put him, but he put us over the angels.
Well, it says we're equal to the angels, but it also says we will judge them.
Well, for the suffering of death, we were lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
But in another context, I read after you said it, I don't think it said we're greater, it says we're equal to or something. But in another place, it says we will judge angels. So that kind of puts you above them.
Well, and Jesus was given authority over all of the powers, and all of the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Heaven and earth.
And so anyway, would this make the devil, would that make him angry at Jesus?
Yeah, I'm sure the devil is plenty angry with Jesus.
You know, if he knew,
and
he did, knew that Jesus was created to take his position.
Well, he found out he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that make him angry? The devil was a big shot.
Well, he was the greatest short of God.
And
then
so
he made a mistake of thinking he was God, and God helped him all with that.
And so God comes forth, brings forth a son, who he has given authority and power
over all of earth.
Over everything, including the devil.
Yeah.
And
yep. Yeah.
And then Jesus says to a few people, I knew you before you were.
Yeah.
Where does that come in? How does that fit in there?
Stay away from that time thing.
Well,
Oh God, anyway.
Anyway, so are we gonna
God bless you.
Yeah, I love you.
Okay.
The good stuff comes now.
Good night.
I'm trying to think of